All right, so this is a bit of an unusual little series that we're doing right now, where last week we watched a completely random episode of Doctor Who, The Runaway Bride, with Donna Noble, just because I saw her on a magic card and I just wanted to know who Donna Noble is. And it turns out she's a pseudo semi doctor's companion who eventually becomes a stand-in time lord and saves the universe, yada yada yada. Weird stuff. So that's the newer era of Doctor Who, the 2000s era. But I wanted to jump back because I also got this magic card. I think you were there with me when I got this one.
Oh, yes, Tom Baker.
So this is more, even though you said you had seen some of the new Doctor Who's, that's your era of Doctor Who, right? This the Tom Baker era
Yeah,
specifically?
but no, the earlier guys. I was a kid when Doctor Who started, and I saw the first ones, the older fella with the white hair, and he is number one, I think. And yeah, we used to come home from school on CBC, and there it was, Doctor Who on about 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon. It's the first introduction to the Daleks, which we thought looked like vacuum cleaners.
Right, it still kind of do. That is a nice thing with Canadian TV, though. We do get a nice dose of Britishness that is just always kind of there. But yeah, this episode in particular, because I'm vaguely familiar with Tom Baker, but again, it's one of those things. Mostly, it was just on TV when I was a kid. It's one of those things like I felt like I knew it better than I guess I do, because when push comes to shove, I'm like, I guess I don't know. Because yeah, if you take a gander at this here magic card again, is that all these cards, denote famous moments in the show. So this one, Crisis of Conscience, is destroy all tokens or destroy all non-land, blah blah blah. But it's because Daleks in the game are tokens. So basically you can use this to kill every Dalek. And you can see in the card there's some Daleks in the background, big explosion. But basically, I guess this is a plot in the show where, he devises a way to get rid of the Daleks and then decides whether or not that's that is he is even as a Time Lord, is he allowed to do that? Is that too much? Do you recall that at all, that storyline?
No, I do not, because it was always that they were so evil, you just had to get rid of them. There was no question of them being even an ounce of good.
Right. So yeah, I just thought I'd grab those then, just so we can check out these episodes. So yeah, this is from Doctor Who season 17. even though Tom Baker was quite early in the show, it's still season 17. Man, yeah, I mean, maybe not surprising, but confusing. Doctor Who is confusing. But I believe this is Destiny of the Daleks. Yeah, Destiny of the Daleks, 4 episodes, 25 minutes each. The air date was 1979. Written by Terry Nation. Yeah, these all aired in September 1979.
That Terry Nation wrote them, I think, right from the beginning. He was one of the writers.
That's interesting too, because September 1979, that's when I was born. So between episode 3 and episode 4 of this series is when I was born. That's interesting. So yeah, I just thought we could watch Destiny of the Daleks just for an excuse to dig back into old Doctor Who to counterbalance the new Doctor Who that we watched last week. And again, just so I can fill in the blanks with my magic card knowledge of like, oh, okay, let's see what this magic card's all about about the Destiny of the Daleks, which again, we'll just have to pretend that the Daleks didn't come back a trillion times to make this one seem more more epic. Yeah, any final Tom Baker words before we throw this on?
Oh, well, he is well known for his multicolored scarf, and I knitted your father a multicolored scarf like that.
Yeah, because
Oh, my
especially
God, it
when
was
his
about 20 feet long.
and when his hair was this length, yeah, like my dad did kind of look like Tom Baker, very similar hair
Yeah,
anyway.
big curly hair. Neil's was blonde, but yes, he had one of those 20-foot scarves made out of every bit of piece of yarn that you could have, and you just wound it around and around and around and around and around your neck. But that's what it was patterned after.
And it does seem pretty safe to say. It's funny how there are just the distinct standout doctors, because of the old era, Tom Baker definitely was the one that it feels like, kicked the show into more of a mainstream awareness. Or whenever people talk about Doctor Who, he's the one people visualize. Whereas in the new series, it's David
David
Tennant
Tennant.
is definitely like the poster boy
Yeah.
for the new Doctor Who. Those seem like the two, to me, those seem like the two primary doctors, and then everyone else is like an ancillary doctor.
Although the original, the I don't know his Well, his name was Doctor Who. The white-haired guy that was the original Doctor Who, except he was just, he was an older gentleman, and he always wore a suit. And then when he was replaced by the second one, which was a younger, slightly younger man with dark hair, almost looked like one of the Three Stooges, you know, with the squared haircut. And he also wore a suit. But Tom Baker came through completely different, much younger, and his clothes, his attire. The newer Doctor Who's always wore weird, different clothes. But Tom Baker was the first one that actually did that, like a leather jacket and the big scarf and funny hats. And he was very much a man of the 70s.
Yeah, which is actually kind of interesting where you got to hit that balance, right? That the old doctors were much more serious, but a little bit plain in their presentation, where the doctor that was always on TV when I was growing up, the 90s doctor, was kind of the one that killed the franchise. You know, that's when they had to take the big long break before they came back. And he had like yellow suits and he was too silly. It was too much. It's like, I can't take this guy seriously with his like polka dot handkerchiefs.
Kind of a clowny type.
Yeah.
His attire was clowny, whereas Baker's was just cool, right. Different, but just very cool, very much a 70s man.
And that does seem like kind of the sweet spot, too, is with David Tennant as well. It's like you got to be a little, like nerdy is the wrong word for Tom Baker, but not like nerdy is not the wrong word for David Tennant. It's very appropriate, but somehow like a little bit still not just, that's where I felt like Christopher Eccleston was such a strange choice when they brought it back, because he's just a cool, handsome guy. He's not, like, there's nothing oddball about him. You do have to be a little off or old. But anyway, yeah, so let's watch Destiny of the Daleks and see how old Doctor Who holds up. And again, in my own weird way, I'm just watching it for a magic card, but it's a nice excuse. It's
now
a good excuse.
You call it old Doctor Who. I call it older Doctor Who. Right. Old Doctor Who is 1963.
Right. Yeah, to me, it's two shows. It's the old one and the new one. But like we said last week, the new one has been new for 20 years. It's not new at all anymore. So yeah, these aren't great designations. But yeah, so if anyone wants to watch along with us, season 17, apparently, of Doctor Who, Destiny of the Daleks 1-4.
Say ah. 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 Laryngitis. How can a robot catch laryngitis? I mean, what do you need it for, Romana? Laryngitis?
Doctor?
Romana, the dog's got laryngitis. I thought you were Romana. Have you seen it?
So a little similar to last week with the Donna Noble episode, I don't think I quite nailed it as far as the magic card goes. Because, you know, Donna Noble, I didn't quite get whatever was going on in her magic card is now. But we saw same thing here, like... It is a little tough to determine exactly what's going on, because obviously this was very Dalek-centric and about the history or future of the Daleks, but specifically on that card, the idea that he had some kind of super device that would really mess up the Daleks definitely wasn't this episode, because at most he had the one bomb to blow up a Dalek. But that was a cool series of episodes. Like, I'm glad that I watched those ones, because it feels like a fairly pivotal point in the history of Doctor Who. Seems like a good one to have under your belt.
Well, especially since they introduced Daffrose in there, and he does show up later on at the very end. Not the very end, but years and years and years later, he shows up again. I didn't realize that he was introduced this early on.
I think actually, too, I was looking up a little bit while we were watching. He may have shown up even before this, because they mentioned that... I was reading a little bit about the production of these, that the Davros mask had been sitting in storage for 5 years, which was why it looked so especially bad in these. So he did show up, I think, at some point, a little bit before this even. Yeah, it's timey-wimey, right? It's complicated, the history of Doctor Who.
But it had a lot of, it tied into a lot in the past and in the future of those shows. And of course, you know, they could have exterminated him, but they didn't. They just froze him. And he's off to some trial somewhere on some other planet. So, left the door wide open for another introduction of him.
Yeah, the magic of serialization, especially, I mean, that this was season 17 this early on. And nowadays, like, I mean, you know, they... they started over counting the seasons at 2005, but what are we on now? Like, it would be like season 35 or something. So yeah, it's the best thing you can do for a serialized show is never close the door on any plot. Always allow the future writers to come back. Although the stuff I was looking up, it does look like the guy Terry Nation, you said you recognized his name. And when I did a little looking up, so he did write the original Dalek episode, and it turns out these are the last ones he ever wrote. So that's kind of a neat thing too, to see the send-off of the guy, because they did offer him other jobs, but I guess he didn't like how Douglas Adams, the script supervisor guy, was messing with his work or whatever. But yeah, this definitely does seem like a significant Doctor Who. But even beyond all that, I really do think, like, again, I only casually know Doctor Who, but I really do think Tom Baker's the best Doctor. Because even just last week, watching David Tennant, who I also like, but, you know, everyone has their different slant on the Doctor. And as we were watching the thing I was saying that seems the same, what's neat that ties them together is they're always kind of arrogant, which I do kind of like, because he's a Time Lord. He deserves to be. But yeah, just the tone that because I have seen some of the first Doctor, and he's so very serious. And I just thought when we watched David Tennant last week, like, he was a little too wide-eyed, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know, a little too heavy on that. Where I feel like Tom Baker really hits that perfect balance of he's kind of eccentric because he's a Time Lord. He knows about, even in this, he references that he's reading a book about the origin of the universe. And he's like, pah, they should have asked someone who was there, you know, like, he knows everything. So, of course, he's going to be kind of scatterbrained, but he's not too scatterbrained. Like, I feel like he just nails it. He just, like, for this weird alien character that has no rules, I feel like that's a hard thing to do. And he just seems like he did it the best, I think.
Well, I don't know. You really need to watch the others. Every one of them is different, but they do all have that. Some of them are more light. Some of them are more serious. But they all have that something that they know how to solve the problem. And they're never... All of them are never at a point of saying, oh my God, I don't know what to do, or I'll let somebody else resolve that. They know they're going to resolve it. And is it because they've been there before, done that? Who knows? Who knows?
And that's fair. I mean, my opinion is not really worth much. It's like, guy who only knows four of the doctors likes Tom Baker the best. Like, I'm such a casual. Someday, though, I will catch up on all these. But I thought it was interesting, too, watching the new one last week and the old one this week, that initially, I was saying to you when we started, like, I was like, huh, these special effects are, like, pretty good. The ship landing down and the sets and everything. Like, because the 2006 one we watched was a little janky with the crazy Spider Woman and stuff, it wasn't exactly great. Whereas these special effects really were pretty good for the time. So next to each other, they weren't so different. But as this one went on, it got worse and worse and worse. Like, the sets got worse. The Davros mask was terrible. The bombs, like I was saying, look like mustard containers. An endless number of little items that are clearly just, like, knickknacks that they painted, you know? Like, after a while, you can't take them seriously anymore. And, as this one went on, I was like, no, I guess this is pretty cheap. This is actually kind of bad. But I was initially pretty impressed, you know?
But compared to the very early ones, the special effects in this were not bad. And they were starting to put some money into this thing. The early ones that I remember, the black and white ones, oh, yeah, you could see cardboard sets. And you could see when some action was going on, you could see sets move. And you could see that they used standard household type gear to pretend that it was something, you know, out of this world. And you can see here, I mean, they did this on a set, obviously, in a rock quarry, beautiful rock quarry. And that was, yeah, that would take money to go there. It's not just something that was done on a set, which is what the early ones are. They're set creations only.
It is interesting too, though, how the tone, again, based on my limited knowledge, but I'm surprised how the tone hasn't changed that much from the old one to the new one, where, you know, with the one we watched last week, the David Tennant episode, he had his little sonic screwdriver and he just seemed to be able to solve problems through random magical space stuff. And this one is similar. Like, yeah, this, the idea of Doctor Who is surprisingly similar throughout the ages.
The one we watched with David Tennant, Don Noble, that I don't think you can judge the Tennant run based on that, because that was obviously
It was a very silly one.
Yeah, it was very silly. And it was obviously something they just pulled together. Let's do a Christmas special. And it didn't have the same forethought going to it that some of the others do. Not that they all have to be serious and everything, but I mean, that one was pretty, there were sections in there that was pretty lame.
Yeah, right. It's funny too with this one, I like the eras of, I was telling you too as we watched it, like how the future, the different views of the future, because I feel like this is a perfect example of that, where my go-tos are always the 40s and the 50s. I think of Buck Rogers, you know, ray guns and rocket ships that are pointy. And then the 60s and the 70s, I think of like Logan's Run, which I think came out 78, maybe, but right around this time. And this really looked like Logan's Run, that version of the future, like very clean, white colors everywhere and just weird, strange devices. Where by 1982, Blade Runner, like especially to those grenades, the fact that the grenades in Doctor Who were yellow and red, like how hard is it to make, like the rest of the Daleks are machine-like and dark and, you know, black-colored metal. Why don't their grenades look like that?
It's good point. Good point. Yeah, ludicrous. Why would they have such colorful grenades?
Yeah, where if this was Blade Runner just a couple of years later, 3 years later, there's no way the grenades would look like that. They'd look cool and gritty. But if anything, it's weird that the 80s went so crazy with it. The 80s future is awful. It's a miserable hellscape. But yeah, the Doctor Who look of the future is still
this. This one reminded me, there's a TV series that was done probably around the same time as this, British, Space 1999.
Right. Which, man, they sure didn't aim far enough in the future on that one, eh?
No.
That title.
But this reminded me very, the sets and the just the action, the clothing reminded me very much of Space 1999.
It was funny, too, because, yeah, plot-wise, this was pretty neat. Yeah, like Davros, the origin of the Daleks. And then it turns out it's two different warring robot tribes, but they're two, because they're robots, they're too logical. They can't outthink each other. They're in a stalemate. They need either mutant Davros or Time Lord Doctor to reprogram them. You had to like kind of make them worse, but so they can juke and jive and maybe win. But so a cool story. But man, those Daleks, like when they first showed up, because they're so loud and the voice is so eerie and they're so commanding, they really are quite scary when they first show up. And then it's just like a rapid decline. Every episode, I was less and less scared of the Daleks. And yet by the time they had their little mustard container grenades on and they're kind of tottering their way across this rock quarry outdoors.
They and they're look just like they're wearing a Hawaiian lei around their necks.
Just when I thought they couldn't be less scary, the Doctor's final gambit to escape and to capture Davros is just to take his hat and put it on one of the protuberances, one of the things, one of the weird poles sticking out of the Dalek.
The eye, the middle thing, he blocked it.
And like, so these Daleks, they don't, like they're super advanced robots. You think they would be able to see like a fly's eye, like see all through themselves, see like what they can't even see behind themselves. Not only that, they can't see through a hat, which they're unable to take off because of their little plunger arm. And like, I was like, I didn't think I could be less scared. And then he did that. And I'm like, no, this is just a bad joke at this point. Like, come on, how am I supposed to take this thing seriously?
But that's the thing with them. They can only go in one direction.
Oh, and the Doctor even, yeah, you referenced that even.
Yeah.
When they're climbing out of a little, like, climbing up into the rafters of the mine or whatever, he literally says to them, ah, you're so advanced, aren't you? Well, come chase us up this rope, you legless idiots, you know, is what he was inferring. And it's like, you shouldn't draw attention to the fact that the Daleks are immobile, practically. They're like little wheelchair guys. Like it's just...
But they are. They are. They can only go in one direction, and they have to turn around completely to go after something.
Yeah, but I mean, I just feel like for the suspension of disbelief, if you want me to be scared of these guys, you gotta, what's the term? Like you need to hide the weaknesses. Don't make the weaknesses part of the plot.
But, you know, I think that was the beauty of the early Doctor Who's. They were more into the plot. What was the story? What is the theme? Rather than the special effects, because some of the special effects are pretty friggin' poor. But later, as the newer ones of these that I remember, they're very much into the special effects. The explosions are good. The sets are good. I mean, they're incredibly creative. But I don't know that the plot stories are as good as these early ones. It was the same with Star Trek, the early Star Treks. The story was what was important. Because some of those sets were pretty friggin' bad. The one, you know, you had the ones that looked like the big pizza. The creatures right. that looked like the big pizza. I mean, yeah, suspend your disbelief. You could actually believe that, yes, there are creatures who look like big pieces of pizza. Because the story was what was paramount, not the special effects.
I guess, though, that's where maybe I just feel like maybe Doctor Who needed just a little more editing, which it could be because Douglas Adams, who was the story editor, I mean, he is a comedy writer, but, like, at least in Star Trek, there may have been, you know, aliens that look like pizzas, but Kirk's not going, like, I'm not taking you seriously, you look like a pizza. You know, he didn't say it. Where in Doctor Who, they basically said it. They said, these Daleks don't have legs, and you can completely, not, like, if you put the, not only did he just put a hat on it to confuse it, it went bananas of like, malfunction, malfunction, and it's spinning around, freaking out. Like, Davros, I hope Davros was ashamed of himself looking at this thing going like, why did I design it like that?
But his other robots, the beautiful robots, all dressed in white with the silver leggings, same thing. All they had to do to dismantle those people was take some little fixture from out of their belt in the back, and they started, they didn't just drop down dead, gone, whatever. They started spinning around also and back and forth and a little disorientated, and then they'd keel over.
Yeah.
You know, same thing, right?
Yeah, that's all. Maybe I'm making too big a deal about it, but I do kind of, it'd be easier if they would meet me halfway a little bit. Like, you know, if they take it serious, I'll take it serious. If they start acting like it's dumb, what else am I supposed to do, you know? One thing that was also interesting about that, I thought was kind of strange, is that the companion regenerated at the start. She was choosing different bodies. And I did look it up because obviously there's no previously on Doctor Who. So yeah, it was the same character as his previous companion, but they regenerated her the way they regenerate the doctors. And it appears that that was the only time they did that. And yeah, TV critics at the time were very confused about what that was all about. So I don't know, kind of neat to see, but it seems like they tried it once and then they decided why don't we just get a new companion? We don't need to regenerate the companions.
Yeah, because usually the companion is a human being from Earth at some point in time. So to have somebody who can regenerate, yeah, like where did that come from? I was a little put off by that too.
Yeah, kind of strange. But yeah, overall, neat to watch, though. Neat to watch.
And you got to, you know, remember that this is a British production. They always kind of do a bunch of tongue-in-cheek stuff. And I'm sure they don't want you getting to the end of the show and being worried about what you saw. So there's always some little...
Well, I suppose, too, yeah, maybe
light
they're...
finish.
Maybe also because, yeah, like the Daleks really are so unbelievably cruel, and they did kill a bunch of people in this. They're just like zapping people left and right.
How can you take something serious that looks like a vacuum cleaner?
Right. Well, but it was so harsh that I know it's an easy go-to, and I'm sure people have brought this up before, but I did start thinking at some point, like, is this an allegory for the Nazis of just like, you're gonna do what we say or we're gonna kill you? And I suppose, yeah, you wouldn't want to leave people with that thought at all. So maybe it was deliberate to try to leave people with
put a creature on there that looks kind of weird, that can only travel in one direction. It definitely looks like it could plunge your sink.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it got in the front of it? It's got a plunger, which must have some Velcro in it because they're able to pick up things with it. And then the other thing is just a stick. It's like a pointer. It doesn't seem to do anything. They don't have hands. They don't have eyes, they don't have ears, and they can turn that top section around like a pivot, but that's it. They can't if you wanted to run away from them. I've often thought, gee, if you wanted to run away, couldn't you run them? Except that they've got their little their gun,
right?
That must be what comes out of that single little arm, the left arm. That must be the gun, the ray gun. But really, I mean, I don't think you're ever supposed to take any of this seriously.
Yeah, I do think maybe. I mean, I it's been, you know, decades and decades, but probably less is more with the Daleks. Like, because people always do say, like, they kind of come back a lot. And yeah, it seems like very infrequently would be better. Even Because I like the way they talk, and I like the obey, you know, exterminate. But even that was just so, they said it so much that it's, again, stopped being scary and just got annoying.
I'm like, well, you guys just... four shows all together, too. Now, if you had that spread out over a four-week span, you might not find it quite so annoying.
Right. But I still would be, I don't know, that's if I was the show editor. You know, I wouldn't change anything big. Like, I do think the overall plot was really cool of being on the planet where the Daleks were devised and the idea of two robots fighting each other. But yeah, it would just be like, the Daleks could verbalize literally 5% as often, and it would be scarier. And let's just not treat them like
they
actual garbage cans.
They must be incredibly popular, though, because they could have any robots. They could have put any other robots in this show. And when you think about that, those things were first, I don't know, 1962, 1963, whenever it first started, they were introduced, and they kept coming back over and over and over again. So the public must be saying, and that's what people remember about it. They remember Doctor Who. They don't really remember who his companions are. They might, yeah, he had some woman traveling around with him, but the Daleks, they remember.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. Yet there are any number of creatures introduced in this series over the years, but they're the ones that keep coming back.
Yeah, no, it's true. You can't really deny like what stays indelibly in people's minds. I was even thinking back to, this was like 2007 or so, when I was living up the hill with my cousin, is he had a friend who got a Dalek tattoo. You know, a guy who at the time was like 28, 29, you know, that a kid that age, a guy that age in the late 2000s.
Would even know what that is.
Yeah.
It's the same thing like the TARDIS. I mean, it's a police telephone call box, for heaven's sake. But how many people could you meet out in the world and you said, you know what a TARDIS is? And they might. You know what a Dalek is? They might.
Yeah.
Do you know what a companion to Doctor Who is? Well, I don't know about that. I don't know.